CliffCentral.com.
All right. Rise and shine, motherfuckers. It is Tuesday, the 24th of November, CliffCentral.com. We're here to take care of you. And, well, I mean, you know, when we say take care of you, we don't mean it like the mafia.
Will you take care of him? Just drop him in the bottom of the sea. Just put him in there with concrete shoes.
That's what they mean when they say take care of you. I mean different. I mean, like, we'll try to help you into your Tuesday morning, and hopefully it won't be the worst day. And, you know, maybe you get some stuff done. Maybe you'll feel good about that. Yes! Good morning, everybody. Andre says good morning. He says, Golf, Oscar, Oscar, Delta, Mike, Oscar, Romeo, November, India, November, Golf.
I think that is one of the most impressive skills to me.
What, to be able to do that?
Yes, I don't care if I'm talking to some call center agent or someone who works at the airport. Like, my name is Sia. They're like, who? And then they like have to like spell it that way. Indigo. Something. I'm like, yes, that one. Yeah. Foxtrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
Jemima.
The one. Yeah.
Jupiter. Yes, that one.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know. Where do you actually learn it? What is it called?
Well, I don't know what it's called, but they use it in order to identify the letters that you're saying by the word that you could possibly least confuse that letter with. So, for example, yes. If you say golf, no one's going to go, what did you say? Adolf. You know what I mean? So it's if the sound isn't so clear. And Oscar, always, obviously, you know, it starts an O. Mike, November, India. You know, that's kind of where it goes. I'm not sure. It's very clever. How are you, Mbolelo?
I'm good. It's called the NATO alphabet.
Oh, thank you. There we go.
That one.
Thank you.
Yeah. They use it in the Navy and the Army. Mm-hmm. Usually.
I have two friends who have recently, one is doing the helicopter pilot's license, which is a hell of a thing to do. The other one is doing a fixed wing commercial license so that they can actually fly passengers around. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
Mm. Oh, it's so nice. It's so good. All right. Lots of things going on. I wouldn't mind flying a helicopter, but the hours and the cost is just exorbitant. And also, you have to be really good at physics. Really, really good at physics. Because with a helicopter, you're dealing with so many different forces all going in different directions. And you have to know exactly what's happening at any given time, or else you will fall out of the sky badly.
Yeah. The cost
to your friends, the helicopter pilots I know say, and there's no morons that are helicopter pilots. Anyone can fly a commercial or those little aircraft. There are no morons who are helicopter pilots.
I don't know. Hey, that's not what I heard.
Big egos.
No.
Egos, but smart guys.
I mean, yes. You know, this friend in question now, he's very, very sharp. He studied his backside off, and he can tell you things. I mean, I sat listening to him the other day, and he was talking about, you know, vectors and forward forces and backward and gravitational, and the amount of air pressure under the blades, and, you know, the, what do they call it? The angle of attack and things like that, which are just too much for me. I'm sorry. I'll be a passenger. That's fine. I'll be a passenger. As long as I got friends who are smart enough and rich enough to own helicopters and planes, I'll just be a passenger. I don't need to. I'm not going to learn that shit. It sounds like way too much work. So, you know, you meet someone who's really good at something. And sometimes you go, wow, I think I could try and be good at that too. But other times you just realize, no. There's no point in my life where I need to know this stuff. I can live vicariously through them and it'll be enough.
The stakes are way too high.
Oh, yeah. No. 100% right. So listen, we have got a hell of a show for you for the TV show tomorrow night, because we managed to get hold of Noor bin Laden, who is Osama bin Laden's niece. And she is just so interesting. And we're going to have her on the TV show tomorrow. So I'm hoping that you'll watch and you'll let us know what you think. but really, really smart.
Gorgeous woman, by the way.
Yeah, beautiful and very
not
smart.
Not to say in 2020 we have to put this forward. Not to say that that's how I judge her and that's all I see.
Why are people so touchy about that, that you can't even compliment someone on looking good anymore? Yeah. Jesus.
Because there's too many beta males and females out there. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but then why have Instagram at all? Why have Instagram at all if you're not going to... You know, I mean, the whole reason some people have Instagram is so that they can be told they're pretty. That's really it. So don't... You know, when someone gives you that compliment, it doesn't mean that they're saying exclusively it's all about your looks.
That's all that matters.
Ugh,
you know what's hard to hear? If you're not happy, you can't be happy for anyone. So if you're like, oh, there's nothing more depressing than beta males and females. They are so depressing.
Can we just talk about this word depressing? Because I think it's being horribly overused. I'm not a clinician. I don't know whether I can in any way appraise someone's mental health condition, but I feel like mental health and depression in particular has become like an accessory to some people. It almost is a way for them to get attention from their friends and their family and the rest of the community at large. And people are admitting that they have depression, even if they don't necessarily have it, because it sounds interesting. I'm very, very worried about this. I see a lot of people under the age of kind of, let's say 35, who are going around saying, I'm depressed, or I feel so depressed, or this makes me depressed, or whatever it is. They're using that word, and it's just overused. Now, we've had a really rough year, and I'm totally willing to accept that a lot more people are feeling the symptoms of a depression than maybe ever before, especially if you've lost your job, or you feel like your life is pretty meaningless, you haven't seen enough of the people you care about, you have to wear a mask, you feel a little bit trapped, blah, 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 blah. All of that is very fair, and I understand if someone is upset by all of these circumstances. But as I understand it, and again, this is my limited experience and knowledge, Bulelo, your mother's a psychiatrist, she would know better, and she's probably told you stuff that would be more useful than anything I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. There is a huge difference between being circumstantially depressed. In other words, that things in your life aren't going the way that you had hoped and you are a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. And being clinically depressed, where you are unable to get out of bed, not because you need an attitude adjustment, but because your brain chemistry is screwed up. And the number of people who actually have serious mental conditions is much smaller than the number of people who are claiming currently to have it. Again, I'm going to upset you here, but I'm going to blame Oprah, because she's made it cool for a lot of people who are not actually depressed to say they're depressed, because it gives them a victim card that makes them sound more interesting than they actually are. Now, do you think that's unfair, Mbulelo? Yours. The floor is yours.
No. No, not one bit. So, I, as you said, I had 9 months of free rent in a lady who's done this for 30 years globally in war zones. And she says depression, truly clinical depression. And my mom's not loved, by the way, in the psychiatry community in South Africa, because she does not give medicine easily. That's always the last solution. So she says true clinical depression. I mean properly depressed people, single percentile, below 2%. Right, those are her words, not mine.
See,
so it's a single percentile, truly clinically depressed. Right,
right.
Not this. Come on, no.
I see people like trotting it out as if it's a personality aspect. You know, I feel like I'm really hardworking. I'm a very social person. I enjoy people, and I'm depressed. I'm like, what? That last one? Just go back a little. Do you think I'm being unfair, Sia?
I get what you mean, but I also think somewhat, since it is so readily known and I'm trying to gather everything that I'm trying to think. Since it's readily known and people know more about it and people have access to more information and there's more awareness of it,
yeah,
perhaps it might be more people than we think. You know, some people maybe 20, 25 years ago were going around thinking this is normal. I just, you know, it's a tougher life. But now you actually think, oh, no, perhaps there might be something wrong going on in my head. And they say that they're depressed. But on the other hand, not to sound like I'm contradicting myself, I think it is a bit of a badge of honor these days where someone can say I'm depressed, I'm anxious.
I don't know if it's a badge of honor.
What's the other one? Oh, I'm so ADD. I'm so ADD.
Oh, yeah. You see, I think some people genuinely see these things, which are really serious problems for some, as mm-hmm. personality aspects, as things that make them sound interesting. Oh, you've been a little introspective, so now you've figured out that you might be depressed. It's self-absorbed bullshit. I'm sorry, it's absolute bullshit. And it comes from a bunch of people who have fuck all to do all day. And they conjure up in their own heads reasons for other people to think them interesting. And it's not true for most people. It's really not.
I think I've got probably a more boring point is from a philosophical standpoint is we don't teach people how to think. So for me, it's been interesting to hear a lot of people talk about happiness. Mm. I've never viewed the point of life to be happy. And I mean, you go back throughout the years in literature. Everybody thinks they have the inalienable right to be happy. Mm. You don't. The human condition by its very nature, life by its very nature is suffering for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care how happy you think you are doing yoga in Bloemfontein. We are all on the spectrum, right? You don't have a right to be happy. Like, it's this new idea of this Instagram nonsense of, I deserve to be happy. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how beautiful you are.
Mm-hmm.
Life is brutal. The human condition is brutal. And actually, human beings, we now know, are terribly adapted to live in this world. That's why we are to create this world that we have, the artificial world we have called buildings and houses. We're terribly adapted to nature. We're really low on the spectrum. So life, both from the metaphysical to the physical, is brutal for all of us. You don't have a right to be happy.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard work to have some meaning. You have to go through the
which
suffering.
Which is why people
live in a world where we call it a homocentric world. Yeah.
Well, it's also why people, because they think that they deserve to be happy, and they've been told this in the last maybe 40 or 50 years, because before that people didn't say you have a right to be happy. I mean, you know, the US Declaration of Independence has in it the pursuit of happiness, but not, they don't say you're guaranteed happiness, because even they knew in 1789, mm-hmm. 1776, in fact, they knew that you can't guarantee anyone happiness. Now, I see a whole lot of people being raised by their parents at the moment, and their parents tell them, no, don't worry, you can guarantee you're going to have a happy life. I know some people who are in their late 20s already who've done absolutely nothing with their lives. They've never actually held down a job. They've never done anything they didn't like. Their parents have been there to hold their hand all the way into their early 30s even. Never bought anything with their own money. And they walk around telling everybody that they're depressed. you got to be kidding me. Janet says, with full-blown depression... I just want to read this quickly, Sia. She says, with full-blown depression, you don't even feel anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you do, you don't want to talk about it, let alone announce it to anyone. I was only diagnosed 7 years after my panic attacks started. It took another 7 years to diagnose my clinical depression. And finally, 22 years later, the formal diagnosis was made. The right combo of meds, a medical team, and a support system do wonders, and one can lead a pretty normal life. Well, I'm glad for you, Janet, but you see, it's more than just announcing it on Instagram to people. I'm having such a depressing day, or posting some picture of you looking broody, moody and brooding, rather, and expecting, broody is very different to brooding, and expecting people.
I was about to say, what does
people,
feeling like you're going to have kids feel?
But then posting something like that and expecting people to go, oh, you know, I feel your pain, or it's so brave of you, hashtag brave. You know, you be strong. We're all thinking of you. Just piss off, really. Honestly, you know, there are people in parts of the world today today who are still living in war zones?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds lots so, it's just we don't so know about selfish.
Them, but lots of them.
So selfish. All right, Sia, you were going to say something. Sorry.
It is, and because there's truly depressed people. There's truly depressed people. Sorry, Sia.
Well, to Janet's point is similar to what I was going to raise as well, is what a lot of people think depression is, what a lot of people think ADD is, isn't actually that.
Mm.
You know, they have somewhat of a warped idea of it. Just struggling to get out of bed on one particular day doesn't necessarily mean you're depressed. Up until a couple of months ago, I had this particular idea of, oh, ADD is like you're very scatterbrained.
Mm.
But as per when you break down the term, it's an attention deficit disorder.
Yes.
So it's just that you zone in on, in inverted commas, the wrong thing at different times. So this video that I watched that broke it down simply for me was a person who was working on their laptop and was just wanted to get coffee to drink,
mm-hmm.
and then thought, oh, actually, you know, I can't have coffee right now because I need to just brush my teeth first. So then now they're going to the bathroom to brush their teeth. They've forgotten about the coffee. So then they brush their teeth, they focus on that. And then they're like, oh no, well, I need to clean something in the bathroom. And then they're now cleaning that. And so like you find yourself 8 tasks later going, I actually just got up to focus on making a cup of coffee. Here I am now fixing something in the car.
Because
that is now where your attention is. And then you also bounce. You know, so know exactly what is going on as well. Things are just gray right now, so I have depression now.
Well, I mean, here's Nikita. She says, it's become a badge of honor on social media to share your vulnerability, in inverted commas. And Lee says, the people I don't get are the ones who take pictures or videos of themselves crying and then post it on social media. Like, how's that not attention-seeking, says Lee. And Basitsana saying, hashtag self-love. Exactly.
Oh, too blessed to stress, doll.
Yeah.
I'm too blessed to stress right now.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Look, you know, I'll say to Nikita's point, I do get that, but I also think it is a... So, on vulnerability, I mentioned yesterday that I watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. There was a cast reunion 30 years later. And... not to go too much into their story, but I don't know if you remember the first 2 seasons, there was a particular Aunt Viv,
mm-hmm.
who played Will Smith's aunt in the show. And then she was replaced from the 3rd or the 4th season onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because like Will Smith had a lot of power on the show and he and the aunt weren't really getting along. So even at 21 years old, he had the power to kind of get her off the show. And so part of this reunion special was, she was fired and she didn't have a good career after that. She's Janet Hubert, the actress who says, Bitches Please. That
clip. Oh, yeah, that's correct. I remember her. Yeah.
Yes. Blacktress Janet, she calls herself.
That's right, Blacktress Janet.
So part of this reunion special was that Janet and
case.
Will had this kumbaya moment. Yes. So they had this kumbaya moment, and then Will Smith recorded a special with a psychiatrist to analyze that interview and to talk about, you know, just what led to Will Smith at 21 years old making that decision. If you want to talk about how vom.com vulnerability is to a certain extent, that whole, I think it's like 30 minutes long to talk about, you know, at 21, my defense mechanism was to actually operate from an emotional.
Oh, God. Yeah, who?
Okay.
Here she is. This is.
Bitches, please.
Bitches, please. You know, frankly, I also, nobody in the history of the world, nobody in the world gives a fuck about Blacktress Janet.
Bitches, please.
No one. That's why she was taken off the show and nobody went, wow, what happened to that original Aunt Viv? No one. Said no one ever.
No, we did. We did.
Oh, yeah. Here's another one.
It was a douchey move.
Yeah, sure.
But it was Will to do.
It was Will Smith's show. He could be douchey if he wants to. Take him off the show and guess what? You don't have a show.
But winners.
He actually went as far as saying in an interview once, she thought it was the aunt's Bel-Air when it's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, no, she seems like...
He said things like, she wasn't laughing at my jokes anymore. And then was like, God, you gotta go.
You know, I've seldom cared less about anything than this. But listen to Siyabonga says, Molweni, good morning, Sanbonani, my beautiful people. Just like old Vuyo Mbuli used to say, remember? Remember Vuyo used to go through all the languages.
Yes. In the morning, yes.
Andre says another one that people throw around way too often is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a very serious thing. That's what they used to call shell shock during the World Wars. Mm. Now, if you've had a bad experience in the bank or someone misgendered you in an email, you can't claim you have PTSD. You can't. There's a word for that we've started using in the last 5 years, and it is, you could say you're shook, you know, and I'm not going to give a fuck, but you could say you're shook. It's not the same as PTSD.
Yeah, or shooketh.
Shooketh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, go ahead and use that, because that's a stupid term that deserves application to your stupid feeling of how someone, you ruined your day by... saying that your hair didn't look as good as it did the previous day. Now, you've got PTSD. Please, do me a favor. Do me a favor.
It's so revolting. It's so revolting because there are so many people that, and for me, I think maybe my mom did this on purpose. I don't know. I've never asked her, but I've seen what depressed looks like. I've seen it before. Mm. And it is so revolting to me when we have the whole world claim it, because it's real. This depression thing is real. This isn't a play toy for you to go and get out of being lazy, which a lot of us are. I have been that and been a victim. There are really depressed people out there. It's not a joke. I kind of make it an equivalent of, there are people who are getting grievous bodily harm out there. That is real.
Yeah.
Violence is real against women. Stop claiming it if it's not real, because it is hurting everybody. There are real victims. And right. I take it so seriously. And it is so, you are so disgusting, right? When you make it about you and these victims get, you know, boy cried wolf.
I agree.
You are revolting. It's so wrong.
Dude, I couldn't agree with you more. It's the same as...
But
it's
folks,
the same
we,
as...
all, we live... Uh-huh.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
We live?
We live in society that is all about us. And we do focus on ourselves more than anyone. So, I mean,
it's making people so boring.
Factor ourselves in and what's going on.
It's making people super, super boring. I couldn't agree more with Mbulelo. You know, if you're going to cry, if you're going to moan about the way society treats you, or the way some individual treated you, or something that hurt you, something that's given you supposed PTSD, something that's depressed you, please bear in mind, as Mbulelo says quite rightly, there are actual victims out there. And what you're doing by watering down the term to fit into your boring life is that you're damaging the people who are truly being victimized, and you're damaging their case, and you are making the term so meaningless. It's called semantic overload, where you make the term so meaningless. Like, I mean, racism has got massive amounts of semantic overload now. So if someone screams racism because, you know, Clicks' shampoo ad upsets them. But there are people in the world who are actually being victimized because of their race. You know, if we think about things like the amount of human trafficking that happens in Africa as opposed to in other places, you could say there's a race component to that. That's a serious thing, right? It's a very serious thing. But if you're claiming that the shampoo ad upsets you, you're really just making racism seem like something commonplace. And if it is commonplace, then why are we worrying about it? You know? And if it's serious, then we should take the serious cases seriously. Anyway, I mean, we could go on about this all day, but Caleb wants to add to the debate. Should we let him in? Let's put him on. Let's see if he's still there. Caleb?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got him on. Let's see what he's got to say. Also, by the way, Chris says... he can't wait for the latest episode of Blind History this morning, which features Grigory Rasputin, and that is coming up. It's going to be fantastic. That's Blind History. So Chris is excited, and if you are, you can also join in there. All right. So here's some other points. Let's just let Caleb come in and have his say. Hey, Caleb, what's up, dude? I'm proud of you that you figured out how to use this request to speak function. Now, other people are just going to figure it out. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's Aoyun Bolelo Sia. It's good that you guys are talking about this whole depression idea. I worked for 3 years in Vintook, one of the biggest human science firms, and I probably worked with one of the smartest psychologists, psychometric tests, and psychiatrists in the country. Mm-hmm. And we've come to realize that it's coming from this idea where we grow kids up and we tell them that they can be anything they want to be. And they're so special because they are little princesses and prince, and the world is their oyster and they can go and grab anything. There are kids being born in Uganda today. There are kids like me who grew up in a Robert Mugabe run Zimbabwe, where frankly speaking, wanting everything I want is not something that I get put on a silver platter. And people have become unable to differentiate the difference between having a bad day and being sad about something that has happened in your life and being chronically depressed.
Absolutely.
And I've seen people who are genuinely depressed come in and out of counseling rooms and what they look like and what they go through. Mm-hmm. It's their chemical composition in their mind being so messed up that in some cases they don't know the difference between doing something they like and actually harming themselves. And you posting on Instagram, because I'm an introvert and people depress me, doesn't make you depressed and doesn't allow you to derail the amount the amount of work that has been done to try and help these people. There's first world problems. Your charger not reaching your bed doesn't give you the right of being depressed. Manchester United having a nonsense coach doesn't give you the right of being depressed. Or Siya Kolisi and the Springboks not playing the rugby championship because we're in a global pandemic is no right boot from Hermanus to be depressed. Like, come on. We need to be so sensitive about this because there are people I've seen who need the help, and there's so much medical advancement that has been done to try and help them. And we derail this by seeking for attention on these social media platforms. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Completely agree.
Excuse me, Caleb.
Oh, sorry. We got to get the headlines.
I hear you on most parts, and I'm aware of time. Oh, yeah, we've lost.
Just say what you wanted to say because
okay, let's go.
No, I've cut him off because we got to get. No, but finish your point.
Okay. I largely get what he says, and with you guys as well, what you say, but I don't still 100% get the correlation of when you say it's the downside of being told you can do and be whatever you want, and it's to this overindulgence. I don't get that. Because I think we do live in a society where you can do or reach for whatever you want.
But it must be hard. It must be brutal. It must be, there is something to be said. I'm not religious at all, but there is something for, there is salvation in suffering. Is we're obsessed. You know what the thing is, Siam? Is because we live in this homocentric world, everybody wants to live on the extremes of life.
My
otherwise,
world
you
is
don't
very homocentric.
Yes.
It is time
I'm
for
done.
The headlines.
We can move on.
Yeah, let's get into these are the big stories this morning. So first of all, the Hawks are investigating another matric exam paper leaked. Oh my God. The Council of Education Ministers held an urgent meeting to discuss the apparent leak of yet another matric exam paper. It is believed that the Physics 2 paper was leaked on Monday morning, just hours before matric pupils sat down to write it. A week earlier, the maths paper was also leaked. The Hawks have been brought in to investigate the leak of that paper. The Education Department has dispatched teams to recheck security systems to avoid another leak. A full-scale audit of the exam administration system is underway, according to the department. They say it is, well, here's Angie Mochekas. Her words are, it's unfortunate that people continue to be involved with something like this, even though the consequences can be dire. So there's more bad news from Matrix, as if they needed it. Geez, they're having a rough year, hey? Whew. Severe thunderstorms and localized flooding are expected in Gauteng on Tuesday. That's today. I thought we'd got through most of our rain, but clearly not. Tuesday, today, is going to be very hectic, they say. There is a warning for thunderstorms. Forecasters said localized flooding could be expected in parts of the province, as well as in parts of KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. Last week, the roof of the global petrol station in Vereeniging collapsed on a number of cars during heavy rains. There is a warning, level 2, which will result in severe thunderstorms and possible hail that could lead to damage of vehicles, damaging wind, heavy downpours that may result in a localized flood in some places. So be very careful of that if you are in Gauteng, especially. That's from the weather department. Good to know these things. Not great news. I mean, you know, we all enjoy a little bit of rain, right? It's nice and it feels cool to be indoors. And, you know, you get that kind of cozy, ooh, we're safe from the rain feeling. But not so much if your house is leaking, or if you are if you're sitting in a building or some kind of structure that is not particularly impervious to rain, then suddenly it's not so much fun. When you've got water pouring down from the skies and then creating rivers between shacks, that's not so much fun. So let's just think about people who are in the unfortunate situation where a lot can go wrong when it rains like it does. It is apparently China's turn to launch a mission to try and retrieve rock samples from the moon. Yes, robotic Chang'e 5's spacecraft departed the Wenchang launch complex on 5th of March, Tuesday. That's obviously, earlier this morning in China. If successful, it will return to Earth in mid-December. It's more than 40 years since the Americans and the Soviets brought home lunar rock and soil samples for analysis. China aims to be only the third country to achieve this feat, which will be an extremely complex endeavor. It's a multi-step process that involves an orbiter, a lander ascender, and finally a return component that uses a capsule to survive a fast and hot entry into Earth's atmosphere at the end of the mission. But confidence is high after a series of well-executed lunar missions that started just over a decade ago with a couple of satellites. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting stuff.
So China has to redeem themselves.
Well, yeah, they, after spreading the Wuhan flu around Earth, maybe it's time they did something positive, you know? And then, you remember Nicolas Sarkozy? Remember him?
Yeah, the one and only. My goodness, what a Lothario.
So this guy went on trial on Monday on charges of corruption, becoming the first French ex-head of state to stand in the accused dock and risking a humiliating end to a career tainted by legal woes. Sarkozy, who vowed to vigorously contest the accusations of bribery, was presented in court in Paris but did not make any statement to reporters. Only one other president, Sarkozy's political mentor, Jacques Chirac, faced trial after leaving office, but because of ill health, Chirac never appeared in court for his conviction of a fake job scandal. The bribery inquiry also saw Sarkozy become the first ex-president taken into police custody for questioning after it was launched 6 years ago. I love when they bring former politicians, when those guys think, oh, I made it. I managed to do whatever I did and I made it. I got away with it. And then they bring them back to court. Good. I think that should happen all over the world to all kinds of former presidents, whether they're nice people or horrible people. If they've been involved in something criminal, arrest them. Right?
So my old lady had to deal with that Jacques Chirac back in the day, Afro-Franc relations, and she said he was a revolting piece of work. I'll never forget her sentiment toward him. Hey, listen. And my mom used to say to me, association becomes affiliation. So, Sarkozy, you got what you... This is what happens, people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he said, these are his only words. He said, I am not a crook. Where have we heard those words before?
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Richard Nixon. That's where we heard it before. All right. One other story quickly. This is about the Democratic Republic of Congo. There's an ex-warlord there who got a life term for war crimes. I like it. On the note of people being held accountable for the things that they've done, a former militia leader in the Democratic Republic of Congo was sentenced on Monday to life in prison for war crimes and mass rape, a decision hailed by the United Nations. I'm so impressed, you know, when countries like the DRC can show the rest of the world how it's done. And they can actually hold someone accountable. That makes me very proud. So Ntabo Ntaberi Sheka was convicted of murder, rape, sexual slavery, enlisting children under the age of 15, and many other charges. A decade ago, a military court has ruled. The UN representative in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Leila Zerugui, said that the ruling showed impunity is not inevitable. He founded the Nduma Defense of Congo militia, this guy, active in the North Kivu province, where he claimed to be fighting the Rwandan Hutu rebels. The authorities issued a warrant for Chega's arrest back in January 2011 after a series of attacks in which the NDC and two other groups allegedly raped nearly 400 people in 13 villages between July 30th and August the 2nd, 2010. So a horrible person, and he's going to jail for life. Good. Good. Thank goodness. Excellent news. Son of a bitch.
That's so twisted.
Yeah, so there he is. He's going off to jail. Good. Love it. Bulelo has the clearest picture this morning, says Bob. Sears is fuzzy, like my head on Sunday mornings. Go back to the studio, people, for the stronger Wi-Fi. Yeah, don't tell me what to do, Bob. Siabonga says, at Basitsana. Okay, because Basitsana and Siabonga are now having a conversation. So let me see what they're...
I love when that happens.
I don't, because I don't know what the hell's going on. Why are the Hawks...
Don't disturb the listeners. They're having their own conversation.
Right, yeah. Why are the Hawks investigating paper leaks when we have human trafficking in this country? Listen, I heard a story last night about a friend of mine's domestic worker, mm-hmm. whose younger sister is this very beautiful woman. And okay. she was basically drugged, and she was taken to some house in Linksfield or whatever. And luckily, this friend of mine knows people who were able to track her cell phone, and they managed to find her, but they were ready to take this girl out of the country. Don't know where she was going. They say Nigeria, but who knows? Because luckily they managed to intercept these bad guys and they managed to get her back. But human trafficking, man, this is a serious thing. And we're not taking it seriously enough. I think people think it's a very rare and isolated thing. It's a big, big issue. And it's a big issue here in South Africa. And we need to own this thing and deal with it, man.
Our authorities seem like they have other things that they're worried about and concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are more interested in Harry Styles wearing a dress on the cover of Vogue magazine and how extremely liberating that is. You know, what's liberating is not being forced to go to some country as a sex slave. Being liberated, in the very truest sense of the word, liberated. That's what liberated means. Not putting Harry Styles from One Direction in a fucking dress and then saying that this is some achievement for humanity. Honest to God, how can people deal with this in a sensible and serious fashion? How can you wake up in the morning and feel that you're making a difference to humanity when you put Harry Styles in a dress? And there are actually people being human trafficked. Do me a favor. I can't treat you as a sensible person if that's how you think.
Twitter got Minister Fikile Mbalula to keep quiet for a few days because there was this trend that he had jumped on. You know, it's a long story, but people were talking about snakes and how snakes are still being used for witchcraft and whatnot. Oh. So Mbalula posts a photo of himself with a big snake, and he was making a joke about it. And a lot of people were getting to him and saying, isn't it interesting that you and some of your high-profile minister friends here on social media will never miss a trend? You'll always participate in some Jerusalem challenge. You'll always have the funniest memes right on time. Mm-hmm. But when a child is raped, when someone is human trafficked, when a horrible murder has happened to an innocent family, you guys are never around to comment on that. And he kept quiet. Actually stayed away.
Damn right. He should keep quiet. He should shut up.
That's the truth.
Should fix the... How about if he's really brave, he wants to get on top of a trend, sort out the taxi industry. I dare you. See how long you last. I wish Tito Mboweni would shut up, says Basitsana. Did you guys see him asking the US if we need a national airline?
Let me see if I find that.
Just unbelievable.
This is why I love Merkel. You keep making fun of me. Is I want my politicians in the background.
Yeah, you
just
love
be
Merkel.
In the background. I want systems that work. You should be invisible to me. You should be there and not there at the same time.
Yeah.
But our guys, yo, Mbalula, wow.
So I don't know if this is true, but if it is true, it's really worrying, and we should all discuss it. I don't know how much to make of it, but this is a tweet I saw yesterday from Richard Spoor. Richard Spoor is an outspoken lawyer on Twitter. He said, listen to this, the number of people earning more than 22,000 rand a month. Now, 22,000 rand a month, sure, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. The number
it's
of people,
living wage.
Listen to this, the number of people earning more than 22,000 rand a month, i.e. individual taxpayers, is down by 4.5 million to only 2.7 million people. This represents a major economic collapse. It's a catastrophe. If that is true, and I have no reason to doubt Richard Spoor in this respect, if it's true, then the governments are about to see, and of course it's that time of year where people are filing their individual taxes now. If that's true, we've got a major, major problem in terms of tax collection, and we are not going to be able to fund the state for very much longer.
Wait, please clarify that again.
Okay. The number of those
are 2-point-something million people in South Africa who earn more than 22,000 rands a month. Is that what it says?
Correct. Down by 4.5 million people this year. That means
so
we're only
we have a third in South Africa.
We have a third of the people earning 22,000 rand now that we did a year ago. One third of them are left. That's all. So if you are earning more than 22,000 rand, you are one of 2.7 million people out of a population of, let's say, 60 million. How's that? You to be rich, in inverted commas, in this country, is that easy? It's 22,000 rand a month makes you rich in this country, makes you rich enough to pay taxes, individual taxes. How do you like that?
You know, Gareth, yesterday I had a meeting with a mentor of mine, and we were talking about leadership. And obviously, she's got some opinions which should not be made public. But she said something great to me. She said, you know, leadership is creating the environment for people to flourish, not for you to flourish. When you're in leadership, the goal is to create environments where people must flourish.
Yeah.
This is a clear indicator now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were also talking about this pandemic has shown us one thing as South Africans. I don't care if you're black, white, male, female. I've been saying it now. These politicians are showing us one thing, and it is clear. I'm just talking about South Africa now. I don't care about any other country in this conversation. We are alone as South African citizens. I don't care, black, white, female. We are alone. These people have deserted us, and it's become so clear. When they stole the PPE money, they showed us where we are, that we are alone in this country.
We're not even talking about that anymore.
Yeah, no one's even talking about it. That's right.
It is a brutal thing to say, but people, we are alone in this country. And the sooner we can spread that message wide, I'm not a prophet. I don't need anyone's vote. I'm seeing what I'm seeing. And this number only proves it.
These
criminals have...
The only way to make yourself completely independent of them is to win the Euro Millions. That's right, because the payout's now standing at 2.6 billion rand. Tomorrow morning is the draw of the US Mega Millions. They're offering 6.2 billion rand as a big prize. Who knows, maybe you will be South Africa's newest billionaire. Wouldn't that be nice? Place your bets now at lottoland.co.za. Lottoland South Africa is a licensed bookmaker with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 years are permitted to gamble. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is 0800 006 008. So here's some points. Beth wants to know that tweet that I read from Richard Spoor. Is that people who left or people who lost their jobs? I don't think it makes a difference. Left or lost their jobs. There are that many fewer, if I can use that term. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. That many less taxpayers in the category of 22,000 rand a month or more. It's frightening.
And I'm sorry to say this. 22,000 rand, if you want to live somewhere, with all due respect, respectable, that's a living wage.
It's not a lot of money.
You are not flourishing with 22 grand.
No.
You are able to live.
You can't go to the shops and just buy things. You're probably looking at a very meager Christmas if that's what you're earning, because that is not a lot of money.
But it's so funny to me. Spending in this country, we still have a lot of spenders.
Well, yesterday I went to Melrose Arch. I had a dinner lined up with a couple that I know. And I arrived early, so I walked around just to see what was going on. And it was very depressing. It's very depressing. There's no one in the shops. And there are restaurants and cafes there, which were, I mean, it's Monday night, so it's not going to be busy, right? But was there, so I went to this one place, I thought I'd have a cup of tea there, which I did. And I was just replying to some emails and going through some messages and things at the same time. So I was sitting there on my own. I was one of four people in that restaurant. Four. And it's got tables. You could probably fit, I don't know, 50 or 60 people in there. Four. It really is. I don't want to depress you this morning. I mean, there's enough for you to think about. But if you feel that the worst is over and that government has managed this lockdown properly, I think you are extremely insensitive and or stupid, because this is the result of not coronavirus. This is the result of government and their decision-making that has pushed this economy back by 30 years. And the proof is there for you to see. You can argue with me all you like. You can talk to me about, it's a dangerous virus and wear masks and socially distance and it's a good thing to have lockdowns. But I think you are being either wantonly destructive. I'm thinking completely insensitive at very least, because people have lost their jobs. And for you to talk about some disease which doesn't affect 99.9% of us, and to say that that is somehow responsible for the devastation that we're going to see in this economy still, that we haven't even got through the worst of it yet, then you are either extremely insensitive on one end and you are only thinking about yourself, or at the other end, you're actually a self-conscious destroyer. You're actually someone who takes... You're a pathological, nasty person who actually takes nothing but apathy from other people's misery. I think it's downright outrageous that people are still allowed to occupy a position of lockdowns were good.
And then it's funny to see how much we live in this country with so many contradictions and people on either side, because on Saturday morning I saw a friend of mine who attended the definition of a shishi poo poo ladies who lunch event. It was like an empowerment seminar in the middle of Morningside in Sandton, and it's all a lot of women who were dolled up and drinking mimosas. And you think, okay, well, you hear stats like what you read out, but then you still have those were easily, 100, 120 women who were able to afford a ticket, which was...
Oh, listen, there's still people who have lots of money, but they're not enough to keep 500 restaurants in Johannesburg going. They're not enough of them.
As much as they love to koch it up,
Sure.
Right.
So where I live, and Sia's just mentioned the suburb there, is there's a very famous restaurant where every single Sunday, if you want to catch people that aren't struggling, they are on your taxpayer bill, you are paying them, South Africans. They gather every Sunday in their Geländewagens, because it's part of my running route. I stop there for a coffee whenever I'm running. They are there living their best life in one of the most expensive restaurants in this country every single Sunday. I can guarantee you, you'll find them there living their 20 grand bill every Sunday. It's happening. And, Kissinger said a great word. If you want to be a great politician, there's something important called perception management.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing an awful job. They are showing us we don't care. We're out here in our Geländewagens. We don't care if you're dying out there, South Africans.
Peter says, when you walk around at a mall, don't look at how many people are around, But look at how many people are actually carrying packages that have bought something. That's very, very few. Well, I was thinking this yesterday. We're almost in December. December is peak retail time. That's when people shop because they're buying Christmas presents and they're spending for Christmas and they're spending their year-end bonuses, which no one's getting this year. Let's be frank about that. If you're in a job where you're getting a bonus, you are either extremely lucky or you're in one of those very, very rare businesses that did well in a year where everybody else did quite poorly. Either way, I wish you luck if you did, because you've maybe bucked the trend and earned it. But it's amazing. This is the time of year where you should see people spending, and we're not. I told you I went to the Mall of Africa. I've been to Sandton City, and now I went to Melrose Arch. So I've done three big shopping places in Johannesburg during lockdown, because we are technically still in level one lockdown, right? And it's depressing. It's not a good... It is hard out there, man. It's really, really hard out there. All right. The best restaurant in South Africa closed their doors permanently yesterday, Waterkloof and Somerset West. Not even they survived the lockdown fast. And JP says, my internet is shit today. I need to listen to the show again on the podcast. Yes, JP, you do. That's a very good point.
Hey, but going back to what Peter said as well, you know, Joe Semino will probably disagree with you and say people will still spend regardless, but it's how they're paying for things. You know, credits versus money they actually have.
Joe Semino.
Yeah, hey, Joey. He's the best. Yeah, this thing of conspicuous consumption, Gareth, I've never understood it. You know, I mean, we've chatted about how much of a miser I am. I do not understand it. And you know my thoughts on presents.
You're pretty different to most people there, because you don't spend money on material things. You spend money in experiences, and you don't actually care about, you know, what kinds of shoes you're wearing. As long as you can run in them, you're happy.
You know what it is, Gareth? I've had those things, and it's people say, oh, it's so privileged. Is, again, it's that thing that people think they deserve to be happy. I've had those things. Trust me, there's nothing for you there. I've gorged myself to every limit.
Yeah.
There is nothing there. There is, and it's easy
but here's the sad thing. Here's the sad thing is people don't know that until they've had it, and then they don't care about it anymore. So you can't tell someone who's never had any luxury in their life that luxury doesn't make a difference, because they don't believe you until they've experienced it themselves.
I know I'm getting old because I'm quoting my parents. My father always used to say one thing, and he is the ultimate pragmatist on this earth. He says, only idiots learn from their own mistakes. So point being, learn from other people's mistakes. And I waited a bit long, but my dad is like the pragmatist. People think I'm pragmatist. He is, and he calls it like it is. He says, only idiots learn from their own mistakes. So, all right.
JP says that the west of Johannesburg is busy. All the shops have people and restaurants are around 60-70%. Okay, good news. Do you guys think that restaurants should openly allow people without masks as a competitive advantage? All we really do is wear the mask as a complimentary ticket to get into the restaurant. Yeah, I think it's so silly. We're putting on a show, you know. I was told by my mentor one day that you don't live long enough to make all the mistakes yourself. You must learn from others. That's Kyle. So I think that's more or less in line with what Mbulelo was saying. Just quickly, Mbulelo, you don't believe anybody who says that their New Year's resolution is to lose some kilograms and to lose their belly. You don't believe any of that shit.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I was at a braai last week, and I had... please, do me a favor. If you're going to lose your belly, if you're going to be a better boyfriend, be a better boyfriend and go and lose the belly. I'm tired of hearing it, because I know I'm going to see you 2023 with that very same belly, and you're still complaining. Because listen, my life's hard too, by the way. My life is hard too. Stop telling me about your New Year's resolutions that you aren't going to do. Write them down. Go do them.
Right.
Stop talking about it. I don't want to hear it.
Like, yeah, 100%.
I'm pretty sure we all have these friends where since 2023 they're the next big thing. Like, Candace, go and lose the weight or actually shut the hell up. And I'm speaking to a particular friend of mine who does listen to the show, by the way.
Good. I'm also, you know what? The best thing you could do is actually to say to someone, I'm just planning to have a nice holiday, and then impress them by coming back at the end of it looking great. Don't set yourself up for failure. Don't you agree?
Hey, we are what we do, not what we say. So yeah.
There we go. Very good.
Please, man. Please, guys.
Very good.
We're all in a pandemic here.
100% correct. Woman of Color says, you know, a woman of color who listens to us from Belgium, I think. She says, needless to say, Cliff Central remains the best thing since sliced bread. Gareth, you took a DNA test to trace your ancestry. I was inspired to take one too. The results were not completely unexpected. I am from Southern Africa, and I am aware that my ancestors might have migrated from North Africa. I was, however, surprised to find out that I'm 1% Inuit, which is Eskimo. Wow.
Ah.
That is fantastic. From your extensive knowledge, would you know why that is so? No, I do not. I do not know what your ancestors were doing and who they were having sex with, woman of color. But I can tell you that is interesting. She says, as far as I know, I'm 100% African. You see, this is why racism is so stupid, because, I mean, I found out from my DNA test that I'm 3% Persian, which is fantastic. I can't tell you how exciting that is. To me, that's like, that's exotic and interesting and makes me a little bit more interested in my history than I thought I was. I don't know, woman of color, this 1% Eskimo, this is very exciting stuff. You should explore that a little bit more. And you should go up to people and rub your nose against theirs, even during Corona,
as a greeting. I don't know.
Build an igloo in Belgium. What the hell? I mean, you're going into winter now. You may as well.
I have a story I'll tell you about after 7. A man has been charged with assault for breathing on a person.
Okay, well, before you tell your story, woman of color ends her email by saying, remember, Sia is only known for having shat his pants.
That's so true.
Credible message that just got ruined at the end. Never mind. I'm not catching a word you said there.
Thank you, woman of color.
Woman of color. Hey.
I like the way we call her woman of color. That's become a thing. All right. Siabonga says, Sia is a member of the LGBT community. It looks like like pink money is available at the moment. The 3-story club in Bryanston. We are there. It is packed. Mabuneng and now Mai Mai.
Oh, yeah. Pink money as in gay people with money.
Right. Well, it's because often they don't have kids, right? Not all the time, but often they don't have kids. So the kids, they'll take your money. Hell, if you've got children, that's a cost item. Massive cost item.
So the Bryanston place, that's Rockets. Rockets is always...
Yes.
Full and pumping over weekends, absolutely. And Mabuneng and whatnot. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pink money.
I'm living the best life. That's the pink money. All right, everybody. We've got a busy day ahead of us today. We're also going to be speaking to someone a little later on who I think you're going to want to know from. Her name is Ketiwe Zulu. She's an author and a game developer. Yes. I'll talk a little bit to her. She actually sent me an invitation to an event that she was doing, and I thought it would be interesting to speak to Ketiwe about history. And today we're also launching a brand new episode of Blind History, so this is appropriate. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. And you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090 if you would like to join the conversation. If you'd like to join us on video, like Caleb did earlier, and it's very easy to do, you just request to speak on the Webinar Jam app, which you can find by going to cliffcentral.com and clicking on the link. It's that easy. Join the conversation if you want to see us too. You can see me and Sia and Mbulelo. And someone was saying this morning, Mbulelo's picture is nice and clear. Sia and I are not so clear. So it's probably better that I'm not so clear. I'll own that.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably not great for some people. There's a lot of people going, ugh, that's not great that his picture.
Sure.
Just want to say, Rasputin, if you ever do want to, if you are interested in history and you manage to get to Russia in 2096 when we all have...
when we're allowed, income.
Great museum, by the way, in St. Petersburg. Massive statue of him, of course, as a martyr to warn that the empire won't fall again. Great, great museum. I highly recommend that if you ever go to St. Petersburg.
Cool. I've never been to Russia, so I would love to go. All right. It is 7 o'clock, just after, actually. CliffCentral.com